And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
And welcome to episode 8 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me is Chris. Chris, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. It's nice to be back after a couple of weeks where stuff got in the way of recording these. So
yeah, well, it looks like that stuff kind of hit Lawrence this time too. So
yeah, it's been a little bit wild, and today wasn't exactly like the best day for me either, but pro wrestling kind of helped considerably, and this episode was kind of a nice distraction to it all, so I'm ready to help us break it down I know you watched AEW Dark on your end of things. I didn't get to because of the past week, so if you want to recap that real quick.
Well, I can definitely recap AEW Dark. Of course, that was taped from last week at in Nashville. Tony Schiavone and Dasha Gonzalez in the control center, Excalibur and Dustin Rhodes on commentary live at the matches. Dustin Rhodes, oh boy, he was kind of out there, it turns out.
Yeah,
on commentary.
I was curious as to how that would have turned out.
He was out there. I mean, it was fun, but it was like him and Excalibur arguing over what's an enziguri and what's a gamenguri. I was like, holy Jesus Christ.
That is interesting.
But that being said, the first match was two of the hotter tag teams in AEW. Let's try that again. Best Friends against Private Party. And, of course, Best Friends bringing out Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy just gives no fucks. He even victory posed with Private Party at one point. It was massive.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Of course, Best Friends did win that. Trent pinning Isaiah after a strong zero.
But good. Good stuff. I mean, the Best Friends need some wins, so it's good that they got one, even if it's within the realms of AEW Dark.
Yeah, but no, it was AEW Dark matches count too, apparently. So
they do. They do, definitely.
Moving on, we had another tag match. We had three tag matches this time out. This time it was a women's tag match. Big Swole making her return to the program, along with Chris Statlander.
Yes.
Now, this is interesting because we all heard that Chris Statlander had signed to NXT, but apparently that's not the case.
Yeah, apparently that was sort of a bogus call. Rumors kind of ran rampant a little bit once that popped into effect. But to me, Statlander has been one of the standouts within the independent scene this year, so I'm hoping she sticks around for at least a little bit longer before, like, continue to build up more and more of these great matches that she's been having. Just get her bag accordingly when the time comes.
Well, I'm going to get to see her coming up here in about 10 days because she will be at AAW's upcoming show, Unstoppable.
Very cool.
So I believe she's going to be facing Jessica Havoc, though, who is not cool. But, you know, that being said, Chris Statlander is good, but they ran up against AEW Women's Champion Riho and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. So we're building her back up. Really, I had absolutely no problem with anybody in this match. All four women were actually on their game, even Britt Baker.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. For me, it's very much where Britt, I think, feels a little more comfortable working more so with her style. I think it lends more to kind of like what Swole and Statlander tend to do, because Swole's done the shimmer routes and stuff like that, and Statlander's just kind of a beast in general, so I think it works. We'll talk about Britt a little bit more once we get into Dynamite, though. I do have some thoughts on that.
Oh yeah, but in the end, Britt, you know, taps out Statlander with the lockjaw. Really, mm-hmm. this was a match worth watching. I thought.
Yeah, no, that's one that I am looking forward to catching up on over the course of the week here, for sure.
Following that, we had another one of those undesirable to undeniable videos. Cody Rhodes, this time interviewing ring announcer Justin Roberts, going through his travails after, you know, being unceremoniously canned from WWE several years ago, and what he did since then, and then, you know, getting the call from AEW. So, after mm-hmm. a bunch of Dynamite recaps and a preview of what was coming up tonight, we had the final match on Dark. It was the Young Bucks, Executive Vice Presidents, the Young Bucks, against Stronghearts, T-Hawk, and L. Lindemann. I think this is L. Lindemann's first time on Dark or Dynamite. Well, it's definitely...
Dark or Dynamite, yes.
On Dark mm-hmm. or Dynamite. It's definitely you know, his first time... On any of the TV. He's been on the pay-per-views, though, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. At least he was in one of them. So I guess they might have figured out all of his visa work and stuff like that. Like, T-Hawk is probably signed at this point, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Shima brought the two of them mainly as his Stronghearts compatriots here.
Yeah.
So
two members that really should have been bigger... Had they gotten bigger in Dragon Gate?
Yeah, this is true.
I just remember the whole angle with L. Lindemann and Yosuke Santa Maria way back when. You know, back when they were all in Dragon Gate. So
yeah, Yosuke Santa Maria still doing their thing there. Gotta love it.
Of course, the Young Bucks, you know, take the win because there was no way in hell that Stronghearts were going to be the Executive Vice Presidents here today. So, but
and again, with it being a Dark, with AEW Dark's nature being that these are the matches filmed before and after Dynamites, if that was the aftermath of that Nashville Dynamite main event, then yeah, I get them using the bigger stars to send the crowd home happy kind of thing. But
yeah,
from the sounds of it on paper, it seems like it would be a good match. So
it was decent. I think I actually preferred the other two to this one, though.
Fair enough.
Personally, but yeah, you said you didn't get to see this. I think you should, Chris.
I'm planning to watch that. It's just a matter of getting the time to do it, which will probably be Friday night once the work week is done and I'm on to the weekend. So
I feel that one. But now, in the present day, we move on to my former stomping grounds of Indianapolis, Indiana. The Indiana Farmers Coliseum on the campus of the Indiana State Fairgrounds at the crossroads of Fall Creek and 38th Street for AEW Dynamite Episode 8. Your commentators, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur.
And, of course, we cannot forget our good friends of SOS Wrestle Talk, Bunchy Bunches, and the Dion Wells over there representing accordingly. So,
oh, I got some other friends to shout out. Shout out to Rusty Redenbacher, a local music DJ rapping icon who was at the show tonight.
So, there you go.
Man, I'm very proud to call my friend and one of my favorite people on planet Earth. So shout out to you, Rusty. Hope you all had a good time. But because this is not that other program, we started off with a match. Executive Vice President Nick Jackson in his apparently his first singles match in 4 years.
Yeah, it definitely has been quite some time.
You remember when the two of them were supposed to be in Best of Super Juniors? I think it was 2016. And
yeah.
They both got mm-hmm. hellaciously injured right before it.
Yeah, no, I do recall that happening. Yeah, that was... It was intriguing because I think they were put on the same block too.
No, they were not. They were in different blocks.
They were different blocks. Okay. Yeah. That my memory is just foggy there. I just think it's interesting in a way, given that it's been the 4 years, and I remember way back when I went to my first bowl in 2016. Apparently, there were rumors that was supposed to be a singles match between them in night three, but then they changed it to do them and Lucha Bros at the time.
Which was a fantastic match.
So yeah,
So,
and
but
interesting how the world works because it leads into this match, obviously.
it does, and of course his opponent is Rey Fénix, one of my favorite wrestlers. Not in my top three like his brother Penta El Cerro Miedo or Pentagon Jr., whatever we're allowed to call him these days. But still, this was a really, really good opener.
Absolutely. It's proof that Nick can definitely go in the singles portion of things and kind of play a babyface in peril pretty well in that regard. And Phoenix was just ruthless throughout the match too. Like, I really
Phoenix
love
was
they
just doing
worked.
Phoenix things the whole time.
And again, just Phoenix in general, for any newer fans who might not be as familiar with him and Penta's singles work, go seek it out. You'll find tons of just great stuff between them. Somehow Phoenix is one of the few people on the planet Earth that made me actually give a shit about a casket match at any point ever in pro wrestling. So that
There you
shows how
go.
talented that he is.
Of course, I'm not gonna praise Nick Jackson too hard because he handed me that block a while ago, and I still don't even know what it was I said. So,
I mean, look, you get a block from Under the Bucks, I get a block from Will Ospreay. We're clearly going our stupid flippy bullshit list at this point.
that's right. Anyway, Rey Fénix gets the win with that muscle buster into a.
The Kinnikuman driver kind of
Yeah,
deal, which is
yeah.
phenomenal.
Hell yeah! So that was a fun match. That was an absolutely great match. And then we led into our second match, like pretty much almost immediately. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, back out here in singles competition against Hikaru Shida. First of all, I love that intro for Hikaru Shida. Second
Yeah,
of
it's
yeah, second of all, I'm just gonna reiterate, I don't dislike Britt Baker, but her against Hikaru Shida, the quality of wrestling on display was just night and day.
No, and I do agree, within the same sentiment as you are on that. Britt Baker is not at all a bad person. I do think that she can put on good matches depending on the type of opponents, but it's clear that the Joshi's work at just in terms of Hikaru Shida and Riho, and we've seen a few examples of this, even Bea Priestley, they work a certain style that's very hard hitting and very fast paced, while Britt is almost, I don't want to like classify it as a North American kind of style, but it's definitely two or three paces below what the other girls are doing, and it makes her look sluggish, unfortunately. Situations.
It's basically one step above the WWE Divas era, that stuff that I've seen. I mean, and she just keeps getting brutalized in the ring. I mean, you saw tonight her, she had a bloody nose throughout this
Yeah,
match
that
today.
I will also take the moment to give the announcers really solid credit for, I think, covering a lot of Brit's sort of sluggishness with the after the nose bit happened with, hey, she's having a hard time bleeding, a hard time breathing, excuse me, having the nose flowing out of her every so often, and kind of attributing to that, proof that
Yeah, well,
Excalibur's
yeah,
one of the
which is
best commentators in the world, which is great.
yeah, which
It
is
helps
fine.
for the TV crowd.
I mean, it helped tell the story, but I mean, the sluggishness was there before that.
Yeah, definitely so. I just think that for this particular week, they did a good job covering that under the circumstances, but it's something we definitely have enough of a sample size at this point to say that Britt might not have as easy of a time, I think, with certain opponents in AEW as we would have liked her to
Well,
have.
I it looks like they're trying to restart the push for her to be the thing in the women's division, and I just don't see it happening. I mean, there are even other non-Joshi women who are capable of
Already
handling
stepping up,
themselves.
yeah.
Yeah, I
Def
mean,
definitely so.
big swollen Chris Statlander, two names I can we can mention.
Yeah,
And
Big Swole is
not
officially signed too, which is great.
oh,
So
cool.
huzzah for that.
And not to mention, of course, Nyla Rose and Awesome Kong. So
Yeah, and then Shanna as well, who showed up pretty well, and she's signed now, I believe, as well too.
yeah,
So
I mean,
some really great stuff.
they keep pushing Britt Baker. I like Britt Baker, but she is just getting left in the dust, quality wise.
It's unfortunate, but it's also one of the circumstances where, hey, sometimes wrestling works in really weird ways. And I think the she's a dentist chants are almost kind of like an ironic thing that I'm just like, you probably didn't want that happening to you, but either way, Hikaru Shida does pick up the win here after a couple minutes. They did advertise it as just being like the number one and number two in the power rankings right now. So this probably A jumps Hikaru the number one once the new rankings come out on Friday, and is probably putting her in line to be the next challenger for Riho's women's championship,
Yeah, I
which
think
should be fun.
yeah, I think they're definitely pushing Hikaru Shida to that point, so we follow that up with a well, a nice little informational video about the Dark Order.
I love it. They finally have given them something to sink their teeth into, other than just being creepy guys with little Power Rangers like
The minions,
what's
the
the minions,
putties,
yeah,
the putties.
the putties. Thank you, yeah, the putties. Because the minions are basically that, they're fucking putties.
Yeah,
That's
you're gonna lose your weeaboo credentials here, buddy. I got news
I
for you.
know. It's been a rough week, man. What can I say?
But yeah, that was actually a better cult recruitment video than any of, either of what's his name, the cult leader in WWE. Bray Wyatt, is that him?
From
Bray
white
Wyatt.
from years ago, yes,
Yeah.
I would agree. I would agree.
Yeah. So anyway, no, that was a fantastic video. I loved it. We follow that up with the Diamond Dozen Battle Royal, which this is a cluster fun of a match.
Yeah,
Cluster
you
fun,
had.
Chris. That's the word we're trying to get across here. Yeah, so basically, 12 guys duke it out, over the top battle royal, and they go until, the last two remain, and then the remaining two will duke it out next week for a diamond ring, which I don't know what, if anything, that diamond ring signifies, but
Yeah.
I know this is a throwback to like Battle Bowl and things like that.
Yeah, I get. I this feels just like an idea that on somebody's brain, on a couple people's brains, it sounded great, but then put into practice, you're kind of just like, wait, what? This seems to be missing like two or three crucial details.
Right. Well, I mean, I know that they did the whole thing with the Ring of Honor when Cody Rhodes was Ring of Honor World Champion, the diamond ring that he had.
Yeah.
That was the best used when Minoru Suzuki tried to bite the finger off of it.
Yep, I was there live for that.
Yes,
That
you
was a
were. I
moment.
forgot about that. You were there live for that. But also, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, does this signify anything? Does this signify the number one contender or what here?
I'm very curious to see what we'll get out of the fallout for that next week. So I guess they
Yeah.
got some intrigue into that, which good for them. That's a point.
So yeah,
Here's a couple quick beats, though.
yeah,
Just
well, let's run down the participants in this.
yeah, of
This is going to
course.
be an out of order because I wasn't really completely paying attention. I think they cut the commercial too, and so I
They
missed
did.
it. So yeah, Adam Page, Sonny Kiss, making his TV debut. Kip Sabian, Joey Janela, Jungle Boy, and Marco Stunt. Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy.
Yes, sir.
Did I say Jimmy Havoc? Because he was there.
Yes,
Jimmy
he was
Havoc,
there.
one of my top three wrestlers in the world, Pentagon Jr., MJF, and oh my God, Billy fucking Gunn.
All right, so now that we ran down participants, two quick things. One,
Pentagon got screwed.
I mean, there's that, but that served the story at the very
Well,
least with the
yes,
Christopher
but
Daniels Phoenix mask fake out. So that is one particular beat I did like. First, I kind of just MJF just got done beating up one of the executive vice presidents in the company, and you're putting him in a middle of the show battle royal. Weird flex, but okay.
But it worked because now he's cemented as one of the top heels in the company. Because who did he eliminate, Chris?
I mean, it's true. He eliminated a couple of people including Orange Cassidy, of course.
There you go.
That was a dick move on his end of things. I didn't like Billy Gunn being there at all. When you have the plethora of talent that you have within AEW and you have TV time like this to actually maybe use them, and instead you go with the 50-some-year-old road agent for, like, at best, two quick spots, which I guess the crowd gave a shit, so, you know.
Well, there may actually be some background to this. I know for a fact, because I've been to a couple of these shows.
Okay.
Former WWE wrestler Mordecai, a.k.a. Kevin Fertig, lives in Fishers, Indiana, and for the last couple of years, he has held a charity wrestling show at Pendleton High School in Pendleton, Indiana. And Billy Gunn has been a guest at all of these shows, a performing guest at all of these shows. And, of course, he's, you know, one of the most over ones because, of course, you know, they're attracting, you know, local people from a small town, and, of course, they all remember the Attitude Era. But it should also be noted that these shows have also had the likes of Kongo Kong and former Wrestle One, now All Japan wrestler, Hiroki Murase, a.k.a. Utamaro. So,
interesting. Yeah, yes. I mean, Kevin Furtig's well-connected on his end of things, too. So, good for him.
So, I think there may be, like, a local tie there for Billy Gunn being in this Battle Royal, because he still has somewhat of a fandom in the Indianapolis area. I could also be completely way off here, but, I mean, it's just one of those notable things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all that being said, also, Sonny Kiss also doubly got screwed in this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and furthermore,
MJF also being a dick heel by eliminating Sonny Kiss, let's point that out too. So at the very least, right person eliminated him and got the heat for it, but Sonny Kiss needs more TV time. Yeah. He's great.
Lastly, if I never see Jimmy Havoc on AEW programming again, it will be too fucking soon.
Again, Staples. Great. Jesus. Fantastic.
Yeah, Jesus. So, in the end, we thought...
There's this caliber to put him to sleep when we need him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just kind of choke him out. Just put him to sleep.
Real Shooter Boy Excalibur.
The real Shooter Excalibur. In the end, it came down to the final two, which we had a false finish for that because, of course, Adam Page was one of them. And then we thought, briefly, it was Jungle Boy. I thought, oh, shit, that's interesting. But no, it's, of course, fucking MJF. So
it's MJF, although also the biggest thing to keep in mind as well is that during the whole shenanigans with one of the eliminations, and this is to keep the... MCU of the pro wrestling only universe continuation going.
Oh,
a
yes.
Large man appears.
I mentioned that on Ward Twitter. Mark. Thank you. I forgot to mention that. Shout out to our buds at Days of Thunder podcast. Even though Lee Malone, he struggles with pronouncing his beer sometimes, but yeah.
My God. He got back at you for that one in this past week's episode, too, which was funny.
Oh, he did. I know. That's why I'm giving it right back to him. So,
continuation across the Pro Wrestling Only Network, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Can't get any better than this.
Yeah. So, actually, we're going to get several more large men appearing here in this next segment. So, next week is Adam Page against MJF for a diamond ring that we don't know what it symbolizes. At least not yet. So we come back to a Chris Jericho promo that I swear he's made this promo before, so this will be the second week in a row he's plagiarized himself.
I mean, hey.
I swear
he's just like, all right, well.
Time to go through the greatest hits. Chris. So, and of course, you know, during this, so he's promising a he's promising a grand celebration in, it's not Chicago, it's Hoffman Estates.
Indeed, you live only 10 minutes from there.
I live 10 minutes from the goddamn arena. I will be there. It is not Chicago. It is Hoffman Estates.
Okay. Yes, and I get that, Jeff, but I also get the other point that somebody else made on Twitter to you, in which if you live in a major city, like you're living those couple miles from Chicago, me living a couple miles from Denver, basically if you're in the suburbs, you kind of just call it the main city just to not have to explain the distance shit to people sometimes.
Oh, I know. And Jason Gray, but no, I hear you.
It is hilarious, but yeah. It is hilarious, though. Yeah. The joke continues for us.
Jason Gray, I hear you. I feel you. But you know what? When I live 10 minutes from it, I'm going to call it where it is, okay?
Yeah, that's pretty
all
much.
That's all I'm going to say. So, you've got
that much. But...
So at the end... We get to the end of Jericho's promo, and oh no, we're interrupted by SCU. Chris, I'm going to posit this theory out here that this whole promo segment made stars out of a nominally babyface trio, but it wasn't SCU.
It definitely was not SCU, and like, don't get me wrong, I like the duck season, rabbit season thing that they had going on there to eventually set up the title match. It felt kind of ingenious in a way that the baby faces weren't acting dumb and they kind of made the heel be hoisted by his own petard.
Well, yeah, but... I get that, but here's the problem with that too, is that Scorpio Sky is not Bugs Bunny.
He really isn't.
He is not Bugs
it's
Bunny.
It's probably a good thing, by the way, at that.
Well, you know. But in the way that they easily took out Scorpio Sky and just completely washed SCU, they made them look like complete dorks. And again, they made that promo made superstars out of a babyface trio, and it was not them because, of course, they got the rescue first from Marco Stunt, who of course got washed because it's Marco Stunt.
Baby Saurus, he's evolving. He's like the first out of the three series of Pokemon evolutions. Jungle Boy is the middle one, and then Luchasaurus is the third.
Luchasaurus is the third. You know what? You were gonna go with the Pokemon metaphor. I'm gonna outdo you.
By all means,
Shen Godzilla.
Yeah, that's actually perfect.
It really is. Marco Stunt is the version that's crawling on all fours and leaking red fluid everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Jungle Boy is the first one that sits upright, and Luchasaurus, they better freeze him before the humanoid thing starts spouting off of its tail.
My goodness, yeah. But again,
huge fan of that movie, by the way.
Yeah, and again, it's very good seeing Luchasaurus being back, and that the hamstring wasn't anywhere near like as serious of an injury as we all initially thought that it was.
And
so
oh my
super
God,
happy about that.
He is going to be he is going to be absolutely massive. I mean, and they even played it absolutely massive too. He stared down, noted MAGA chud Jake Hager,
mm-hmm.
and Jake Hager backed off. Like, yep. That's perfect. That is fucking perfect.
Of course, the large man backed off. He was staring at a fucking kaiju.
That's
not
right.
A big bat kaiju like our boy O'Shea, but a kaiju nonetheless.
Hey, what's up, O'Shea? Hey,
references. I love it.
Hey, AEW, sign our boy O'Shea. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that is the one platform that we will die on every time on this show.
So, I thought that, and also, I just cannot believe they are actually going through with this Scorpio Sky versus Jericho match.
Yeah, I mean,
I
guess they need the defenses at the very least before leading up into any other big events. And it should be a fun match, I think, next week. It will just be the basic setup and how they did it. And the way the segment flowed, it kind of unfortunately may have not done wonders for is it going to be an upset, or it just feels kind of like, oh, I guess we know what's coming?
I mean, the only thing that Scorpio is doing is rolling people up. You know, he's basically stolen Riho's gimmick at this point.
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding.
But yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, next week we get that in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. So, by the way, before we go further, we were talking about throwbacks. Did I see a listing for an upcoming show in January, and they're calling it Bash of the Beach?
Yes, they are. The Miami show, I think, before, because I believe they confirmed one of these Dynamites is going to be on Jericho's Cruise coming up this next year. And I think the week before that is where they're doing the Bash on the Beach show in Miami.
How the hell did Vince McMahon not trademark Bash the Beach when he bought all the WCW property?
I don't know, man. That's on him.
Of all ones, because that was like the pivotal show that changed the wrestling industry forever.
True. So, I mean, hey, sometimes old people do old people stuff, and this seems very much like an old people stuff kind of thing.
If you have any more information about why Vince McMahon did not trademark Bash of the Beach, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Strong Style Story without the E in style. Chris is at Brazilian Fury with an S, not a Z.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
All right, our next match. It was, you know, a storyline match, you know, within AEW, but it was for a very tragic reason why they were holding this match.
Before that, though, we need to talk about the quick squash that was Luchasaurus against Peter Avalon, which, hey, good stuff. Luchasaurus gets
the
win. Oh, God,
I completely missed that. Are you kidding me?
That happened. It was very quick. It was very simple, but it happened, and Luchasaurus has a winning record.
Yeah, I had to step away from the... Well, it was a commercial break. I had to step away and take care of something. I come back and I saw, you know, Luchasaurus and Marco and Jungle Boy. I figured it was just a continuation from what had happened before.
Yep, it was a very quick blink and you miss it kind of segment. But it got over the fact that Luchasaurus is a beast. So I'm completely okay with it. And Avalon was kind of is the right fall guy for this stuff with the gimmick. So...
Yeah.
Eventually, I hope they let him wrestle because he's good. Even though the librarian gimmicks are shit, as we've established through 8 episodes at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. This is episode 8, and yeah, the librarian's shtick so fucking sucks. So,
indeed. But yeah, I'm on to more serious matters at this point.
Okay. Well, actually, it makes me feel a little bit better because I thought this was another 5-match show. So now I know it was a 6-match show. I'm kind of okay with it. But anyway, yes, it was very tragic circumstances. Wrestler Matt Travis, of course, was killed. It was a bike accident, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe they mentioned it was a cyclist accident. Yeah. Excalibur mentioned as much on commentary, which, again, so sad, dude. Like, especially considering the backstory behind the fact that it, you know, Santana and Ortiz like personally found them, recruited them to start wrestling, and that he played a hand in Private Party's training in House of Glory. That whole relationship is just, I'm glad they gave him the time to, you know, honor their friend by having a match like this.
Yeah.
So,
and I did like the fact that they, you know, they at least, you know, kind of, you know, made it, you know, like they played it straight at first. And then of course, you know, it went into storyline.
Yeah.
Know, mm-hmm. Through the match. But, all that said, I did enjoy this match a lot. I'm marking for the fact that Gin and Juice is a finish now.
Yeah, this is probably the best Gin and Juice that they've hit since the one on the box. So,
fan. Yeah, so that was good. Isaiah Kennedy, of course, pinning Santana with Gin and Juice. Love that. And, of course, you know, we get, you know, some extracurriculars with, you know, the Inner Circle, as well as Executive Vice President Nick Jackson and Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah, I mean, can storyline continuation, they're at least putting over the fact, obviously, that this whole Inner Circle versus AEW Elite guys is definitely still going to be a thing going forward. And yeah, it's another beat into that story. So
yeah,
I'm okay with it. And I could see how people were probably at this point of the night, maybe not as keen on seeing this stuff, but I think it served the purpose. at the very least, even if it might not be like the most like revolutionizing or, you know, like unique kind of segment that you can have type of thing.
Yeah, no, I got that. We then transition into a Kenny Omega promo. Because
oh boy,
he is going to be up against Billy the Fish next week in Hoffman Estates, which that should be something.
Yeah, rematch from, another rematch here.
From Hoffman Estates, as it turns out.
Yeah, indeed. Again, just trying to figure things out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he can't cut promos. I'm sorry. He cannot cut a promo.
It's just, like, it's one of those things where if you keep it short and sweet, I get it, but this felt too try hard. This felt Seth Rollins levels of try hard.
Yeah,
I
hate to keep bringing this up, but when he was Anime Supervillain, his promos were wonderful, you know?
Yeah. It's just one of those things. Kenny does campy super well. I just don't think he does serious WrestleMan well, and we have enough of a sample size at this point to point out and say, yeah, he doesn't.
No, yeah, he can't. He really needs to go lean back to the comedic villainy that he used to, because that was when I really enjoyed him, so... But yeah. Actually, just comedic. You know, comedic would be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Kenny Omega, best wrestler on planet Earth, is something I never bought into. So, and we have enough sample size of me saying that over and over. So moving on. Our main event. Oh God, I've been waiting for this match all night.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, I had kind of the thought of, maybe they're doing this too early and when they could make a lot of money off of it. But then I realized 30 seconds into just Darby's entrance alone, I'm like, fuck it. This is phenomenal. Let's just run with this.
Let's just run with this. John Moxley versus Darby Allin. John Moxley, as far as this company is concerned, might actually be, and we've said this before, we're going to say it again, that he might actually be the closest thing to Stone Cold Steve Austin in American wrestling right now.
Here's the weird thing. I think this main event just may have very well shown the two most over guys in that entire fucking company.
Oh, it's amazing. It is amazing. Darby Allin is an actual main eventer in an American TV wrestling promotion.
I absolutely love it, though. Like, he just has an aura about him and the way that he does it. And I saw this tweet pop up in my timeline from Alex underscore Navarro. Basically, the way he kind of put it is, Darby Allin and Hiromu Takahashi draw from the exact same wellspring of chaotic short guy punk energy. They just express it in different culturally specific ways, which, yeah, that's a comparison.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's completely true.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it Moxley was doing Moxley things, again, hoisted by own petards happened as Darby Allin brought a personalized body bag to the rig, which of course Moxley put Darby Allin into.
Yep. And again, kudos to the entrances as well, with Darby coming in on the body bag and basically being crowd surfed into the ramp portion, and the camera shots on both of these entrances were top-notch stuff by the production team. Moxley coming through the crowd with that shot on the back while he was walking through the sea of people was chef kiss all over the place.
You know, I, at this point, I'm just going to declare, I don't care what the ratings are this week, because this show was just standout from top to bottom.
Mm-hmm. Very fun. Main event was super fun as well, with Darby desperately working anything and everything that he could, including Moxley's fingers. I think he popped one or two out of place there.
Yeah,
at some
I think
point.
He did. Yeah, I saw that. Not the first time that this has happened in an AEW ring either.
No, absolutely
But
not. But
Kip Sabian
just
had that happen to him the other what was it? I think maybe was the first
it was
episode
dark.
of Dark, yeah.
Yes, I believe it was.
But yeah, so yeah, this was great. That Avalanche Death Rider, holy Jesus Christ.
What an exclamation point. Although it does make me wonder at some point if the two of them were talking backstage and they just went, "Hey, what if we tried that D. Malenko Scotty too hotty finish from that one episode of Sunday Night Heat?" And
Oh
just,
God.
my
Oh my
goodness,
God. Yeah, but
just the
that
sheer impact. And you bought the fact that John Moxley had to go that far to win this match too, with the way Darby kept coming at him.
Oh
So
yeah. No,
phenomenal stuff.
they have completely made Darby Allin a believable main eventer. You know, with you know, main with main event matches against John Moxley, against Chris Jericho for the title. Little disappointed that he didn't have Darby actually try to wrestle a little bit in the body bag, like, you know, when, you know, based on, you know, Darby Allin wrestling for 5 minutes
True.
with his, you know, hands duct taped behind his back.
Although, here's the thing, that's not out of the ballpark to eventually happen one day. So if that is a trick that he can do, I'm glad he's keeping it safe and sound for like a big time sort of thing. But again, Moxley wins in a great main event, basically is shit talking the cameras as he's known to doing and saying like who can possibly stop him. That's true. He is kind of that chaotic force of energy that nobody in the company has seemingly had an answer to.
Well,
So
I mean, I
I'm
mean, again, he is the closest thing American wrestling has had to Stone Cold Steve Austin in a while.
yeah, to me, I do think that when it's time for Jericho to lose the belt, I think it does need to be Moxley, to be honest with you. Like, make it a proper chase over the next few months, but
You know, they seem to be building that. I still swear that they're waiting for Kenny Omega to do it. I'm a little worried now, based on a report I saw about Jericho and what he's doing on or around January 5th.
y'all
But
right.
yeah,
But
but I'm gonna pocket that one for another
Strong Style
show
Story. Yeah,
for a
we
Strong
can.
Style story. So.
Because, yeah, there's definitely some stuff to unpack when it comes to talking about it at our anniversary show for that. So,
Yeah, which is
but.
well,
And
it's gonna be that's gonna be you know quite a few weeks yet. So.
yeah, but until then, you've got us to keep you entertained with your AEW Dynamite, almost immediate hot takes, if you will. But overall, I think this was a better episode than last week's. I'll
Oh,
say that much.
by far it was a better episode than last week's. I mean, I thought that there was some good promo work last week, but this week was decent. What are your pros and cons?
Sorry, I had myself muted here. Hold on. So, pros and cons. Pros, main event, opener match. They definitely fall under that. Luchasaurus doing Luchasaurus fangs was the good. The Dark Order finally getting something to bite their teeth into and hopefully really become a threat within the tag team division by playing this cultist kind of gimmick. Perfect. More of that, please. Cons, I'll say just some of the awkwardness of the SCU getting beaten down accordingly by the Inner Circle and kind of making Scorpio Sky look a little bit ish with Jurassic Express literally having to be the knights in shining armor here. I do think we got almost like too many like run-in spots, unfortunately, with this one, and I get that a lot of this was story building for the upcoming weeks, but
Yeah, no,
felt almost a little too excessive,
you,
unfortunately.
yeah, no, you are right. That is something we should have mentioned, is that there were quite a lot of run-ins on this show, and it was kind of bringing that down a little bit. My pros, of course, are you know, Rey Fénix, Hikaru Shida, Jon Moxley, Darby Allin, a lot of the Diamond Dozen. I mean, there was some fun stuff. It was just kind of you know, it was just kind of what it is. The Dark Order video I thought was amazing. I love that video, and I hope we get more of it. My cons, Pentagon and Sonny Kiss getting completely boned in that battle royal.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
yeah, the Yeah, the SCU part of Jericho's promo. Well, actually, you know what? That whole Jericho promo, it was not as good as he's done in other weeks. I swear he was played. I mean, we all know he plagiarized his one last week. I think he plagiarized this one, too. I can't put my finger on it, but it just sounds like something I've heard from him before, you know, that he's pulled before. And SCU, I thought, SCU looked like complete schmucks with their part of the promo. And again, it was Jurassic Express who came out looking like the big heroes out of that whole segment. Instead of SCU, who's trying to, you know, look like a contender for, you know, the world title. I really just do not. I really hope this is the end of the line for the SCU super push, because it is nonsense to me.
Yeah, and to me, here's the thing. It makes sense in a way whenever singles champ and tag champs get involved in this sort of thing, where the tag guys get the wins in tags, but the singles guys get the win in singles. And I do feel this is what we're headed into towards next week as well. And I do think Scorpio Sky will probably show out accordingly on that main event. But I do think, again, as you mentioned, it's just kind of your placeholder for eventual plans that, say, Bash in the Beach and, you know, the cruise and stuff like that. So
yeah, it just, I don't get it. You know, it just, there's something just so very phony to me about the SCU push, but you know, that's just me. And we, you know, who knows, maybe we could get a payoff for this, but as of right now, I'm not seeing it. So that wraps up AEW Dynamite episode 8 live from Indianapolis. So I know of one dark match, and this blew my mind. Kenny Omega against Jack Evans for the AAA Mega Campeonato.
Yeah, I do believe that one is definitely happening, which is, it's kind of nuts in that regard here. I think I've got the other matchups lined up on that. Oh, yeah. Pentagon Jr. versus Trent is happening there.
Oh,
that explains why Trent was not part of the stuff earlier tonight with the Diamond Dozen, Battle Royale.
Maybe that makes sense why they eliminated Pentagon so early then.
Yeah. And then alongside that, Big Swole versus Shanna is happening as well in that. So that should be fun.
Oh, nice. So, yeah. Okay. Well, that should be a really interesting.
Although the downside of it all is that, the good hand Sean Spears will be on commentary, y'all.
Are you kidding me?
Joy.
Oh, Jesus. I may be muting that episode.
Yeah, and it's like, can we petition for Tully to, like, get in the booth and just do guest commentary himself?
Tully can talk. Tully, I know. Can talk. Why does... Oh, you know what? I don't want to know.
Anyways.
Brief programming note. Next week's Boom Goes the Dynamite will not be posted on Wednesday following AEW Dynamite, because, as you may have caught with a couple of times from the tone of my voice, I will be at the show in Hoffman Estates, not Chicago, Hoffman Estates, Illinois.
Indeed, next I will Wednesday. I will be at a live show myself too happens. So,
what are you going to?
Lucha Libre and Laughs over here in Denver, which is our kind of one of our main local indie spots. So, a couple of interesting things happening that night. So I'm excited to get together with a couple of friends, go see that before kicking off my Thanksgiving break.
So are you going to be able to see AEW Dynamite?
Probably going to put it on the DVR and watch it once I get back home. More than likely.
Well, fair enough.
Catch it first thing Thursday morning. So
yeah. Well, so the plan is we're planning to get together sometime on Thursday to record, but we're gonna try to schedule the posting of it until I think until Black Friday, because of course we don't want to step on the toes of our fellow shows. That would be Greetings from Allentown, and I think that's a Days of Thunder week.
Yes.
So we don't want to step on their toes doing that. So yeah, so we're gonna record on Thanksgiving Day before we, you know, eat ourselves to death, and then and then we're gonna, you know, pre-post it and schedule it for Black Friday. So that's our Black Friday gift to you. Will be
indeed.
Boom Goes the Dynamite episode 9.
Not to mention the fact that with the boys from Days of Thunder having their show this next week around, Dave, I'd better hear your review on both of the Ghost shows that you're attending this next week, or within the next 2 or 3 days, I think, from when we're recording this. So,
Yeah, that's right. They did say they were going to go see Ghost. He did say that, didn't he?
Yes, he did. So.
I'm not seeing Ghost, but I did, during one of the commercial breaks, buy my remaining tickets for the rest of the wrestling shows I'm going to see in 2019. So
there you go. Perfect.
Well, I mean, I already bought my tickets for AEW, but I already mentioned I'm going to see that AAW Unstoppable show on the 30th, and then December 13th, my honey and I will be attending Warrior Wrestling. Featuring one Mr. Minoru Suzuki.
I mean, it's Minoru. How can you pass that up? Seriously.
Unfortunately, fucking Elgin is on that show, too.
At this point, bleh, you just turn away and not pay attention to him. That's what you learn to do.
And of course, what's going to be my live wrestling finale for 2019, Chris?
Oh, Lord.
The next night, my honey will finally get to experience Kaiju Big Battle.
Oh my God! Yes.
It's an
experience.
If we're gonna go out of 2019 for live grabs, it's gonna be like that. But
Kaiju Big Battle is as good of a way to go as any.
Hell yeah,
for sure.
But of course, you know that this whole streak kicks off next week. AEW Dynamite live from the Sears Center in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, and I will be there, so that's why you're going to get a Black Friday edition of Boom Goes the Dynamite next week.
Indeed. So until then, let's just go for the blogs one more time. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Brazilian Fury. That's Brazilian with an S instead of a Z. And you can find Jeff over here at
Strong Style Story without the E in style. My personal Twitter is at GD Wessel. That's 2 S's 1 L. And of course, you can listen to my other show, Busting Balls, that we recorded and posted a new episode this week. We had the misfortune of all hell breaking loose at Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh my God! Yeah, I did hear about their manager getting sacked.
The first thing I saw when I woke up this morning is Jose Mourinho is the new Tottenham Hotspur boss.
Oh dear God!
Oh yeah. So I think we're gonna be doing a special edition this weekend to discuss that at length. Because.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, SoundCloud.com/busting-balls. Episode 31, and then we're this Sunday we're gonna have a special edition to discuss what the hell is happening at Tottenham Hotspur. So. Until then, that's it. And, we will see you next week on Black Friday. So, Chris, any final words?
No. Boom Goes the Dynamite is about as good as we can get. So see you next week.
Yeah. We'll see you on Black Friday. Take care.